A Fox Lorber Classics Associates presentation. Lone Star Productions present John Wayne in The Dawn Rider, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. Directed by R.N. Bradbury. A Paul Malvern production. Story by Lloyd Nosler. Photography by Archie Stout. Technical director E.R. Hickson. Recorded by D.S. Stoner. Film editor Carl Pearson. Cast: John Wayne, Marion Burns, Denny Meadows, Reed Howes, Joe DeGrasse, Yakima Canute, Earl Dwyer, Nelson McDowell. On a wooden sidewalk, a stocky man in a cowboy hat rolls a wooden barrel toward a horse and wagon. As a tall man in a black suit and top hat approaches, the cowboy hoists the barrel onto the wagon.
Good morning, Ben.
Howdy, Bates. How's the undertaking business?
Oh, this town is too healthy. If something doesn't happen soon, I'll have to bamboo.
Yeah, sure been mighty peaceful, like, for a long time.
The two men turn to the gunshot, eyes wide. A group of men run to gather around the saloon door. Ben and Bates join the crowd. The crowd parts when a cowboy in a white vest rolls out of the saloon. He jumps to his feet and runs away. When another cowboy struts out of the saloon brandishing a pistol, the cowboy in white dives into the wagon. The other cowboy opens fire.
Put that hardware away. You know, the shooting gallery's up the street.
I ain't so particular what I shoot at.
Better give me that gun, hombre.
And the lead that goes with it?
Ben twists the pistol from the man's hand. He draws his own gun.
Now, Dan.
And shoots at the man's feet. Wildly kicking and jumping, the man dances for Ben in the crowd. Farther down the street, a tall man in a white hat, John, rides into town. He stops his horse and dismounts. Watching the man dance at the mercy of Ben's gun, John smiles to himself. Exhausted, the dancing man collapses.
Come on, Ari, get your hat, get out of town. Come on.
Ben picks him up and pushes him face first into a puddle of mud. John saunters over to the puddle and picks up the man's mud-soaked hat. With a pat on the back, John shoves the dirty man on his way.
You look like you need a bath yourself, stranger. The water's fine.
Well, I know, Bates. This ain't Saturday night. And besides, we ain't got no lavender water in this town.
The smile melts on John's face as he walks toward the crowd. He stands face to face with Ben.
He must be the Joker in this deck.
Well, one thing's certain, I ain't the queen.
Well, I'm not so sure. You're acting like an old woman.
John snaps his dirty hat at Ben's face.
Sorry, the dust must be blowing your way.
Well, you better watch out a cyclone doesn't come up and blow you right off the street.
Your cyclones are all whirlwinds, fella.
You'd better run along before a storm breaks. Because I got a feeling I'm going to cloud up and rain all over you.
You and whose arm?
Just me.
John draws his gun before Ben pulls his.
You didn't look so tough. I figured having to use a gun on you.
You don't have to, hard-boiled.
He tosses his gun over his shoulder. Ben throws his gun with John's, then lands a quick punch. As the two men stand off trading blows, Bates, the undertaker, anxiously looks on. Grabbing Ben by the arm, John throws him over his shoulder and then dives on top of him.
Ben kicks John off and jumps to his feet, only to be hit with a hard left hook. John gets flipped to the ground, where the two fighters wrestle in the dirt. When they climb to their feet, John punches Ben with two jabs, then lands a mighty uppercut, sending Ben flying to the ground. Ben sees his gun on the ground behind him. John watches, worried, but Ben wipes the blood from his mouth and gets back on his feet, unarmed. The saloon bartender, Wallace, watches the fight with a man in a dark checkered shirt.
Who is that guy?
Never saw him before.
With a running leap, Ben knocks John to the ground. They crawl to their feet, and John lands several punches in Ben's gut. With a massive right hand, John sends Ben to the ground. Ben shakes his head and stumbles to his feet. Then lunges weakly at John. Grabbing his arm and twisting it behind his back, John holds up the struggling Ben.
Why don't you fight?
You got me licked, fella.
John lets go of Ben.
Not what my jaw tells me.
I think I know something we both need.
Sure. And I'm going to buy him.
The two men smile and collect their hats and guns from the street.
Hey, that was all right, boy.
Great fight, great fight. I wonder who's up.
John leads Ben into the saloon and props him against the bar where Wallace the bartender is cleaning a shot glass.
Liniment or mule cake?
Well, my jaw says liniment. But my stomach says mule cake. Make it two drinks for two gentlemen. Ben McClure and...
John Mason.
Mason? Say you're not old Dad Mason's son, the man I work for.
Yep, Dan Mason's my dad.
Well, I must. Say, just supposing I'd have licked you. I'd have lost my job.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. I'd have seen that you got a raise. Anyway, Ben, here's the friendship. May it last.
And there's no buck in it, old son.
Outside, the man in the dark checkered shirt scopes out the street. Two other men saunter up to the Mountain Freight and Express office. Looking to the man in the dark shirt, one of them gives him a thumbs up. The man in the dark shirt returns the gesture. Wallace approaches him.
The rest of the boys are waiting for you back at the express office.
He nods and walks away. In the saloon...
Been a long time since I've seen Dad.
Well, then I ain't going to keep you waiting. Besides, I got to get that freight on its way. Come on.
As the two new friends leave the saloon, Ben sees a pretty young woman walking down the street. He and John turn around and walk toward her.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, Alice. Gee, I'm glad to see you.
I suppose this time you'll tell me a mule's kicked you.
Smirking, Ben wipes the blood from his mouth.
Well, this time I ain't telling. Anyway, this is John L. Sullivan, Alice. He's a great guy. After you get to know him.
I'm glad Ben's taken such a liking to you, Mr.
Mason. John Mason.
I think you've done him a lot of good already, Mr. Mason. Ben's needed a friend like you for some time.
Oh, we were just getting acquainted.
Just getting acquainted? Well... It will be interesting to meet you when you're really good friends.
A small group of men and horses wait in the cover of trees. The man in the dark shirt approaches another man at a closed window. He waves to the man at the horses, and one of them runs over carrying a saddlebag. Reaching into his back pocket, the man in the dark shirt pulls out a polka dot neckerchief and ties it around his face. Facing the window, he draws his gun. The two men in front of the Mountain Freight and Express office slowly move to the front door, then draw their guns and burst inside.
Well, I suppose we'll be seeing a lot of you now.
I hope so, miss.
Ben, let's bring you up to dinner sometime. I'd like you to meet my brother.
Sure. He's a great guy. Well, John, we better go look your dad up.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
At the express office, the armed man in the neckerchief takes a money bag handed to him through a hole in the window.
Well, John, let's give your dad the big surprise.
When John and Ben enter the office,
retire.
A man with a gun jumps out from behind the door. An older man pulls a bag of money from a large safe.
Dad! John!
Another armed bandit takes the money bag and hands it through the hole in the window.
Give me that last bag.
Dan Mason reaches deep into the safe and pulls out a gun.
Stop that gun!
The man in the neckerchief shoots him through the window.
Keep him up. Back up, okay.
The guard at the door keeps his gun on John and Ben. The bandits leave through the front door.
Dad.
John and Ben kneel beside Dan.
The man who shot me wore a polka dot.
I saw it, Dad. I didn't see his face, but I'll find you.
John's father dies in his arms. Outside, the bandits jump on their horses and gallop away. Running out the front door, John draws his gun. He shoots one bandit off his horse, then another. As the five other bandits ride away, John leaps onto his horse and chases the gang. Ben leaps over the hitching post, then gets on his horse to join the pursuit. The five bandits ride side by side, tearing up the dirt road out of town. Pushing his horse to the limit, John keeps up the chase. Ben is close behind. The bandits stop their horses beside a large tree.
That way, boys!
And turn off the dirt road. When John reaches the large tree, he reins in his horse. In the bushes, the bandits turn their horses to face the road. Following their tracks, John turns off the road and is shot off his horse by the man in the neckerchief. As the bandits ride away, John struggles on the ground. He draws his pistol, carefully takes aim, and shoots a bandit off his horse. Dropping his gun, John collapses in the sand. Ben reaches the large tree, then rides toward John. Seeing a horse without a rider, Ben hops down and finds John unconscious on the ground. He props John up.
Take it easy, old son.
Putting John's arm over his shoulder, Ben struggles to lift his friend to his feet. Soon after, at Ben's house...
Are you going to pull him through, Doc?
He'll pull himself through. If two bullets couldn't kill him, I reckon I can't.
Alice packs the doctor's bag while he sits at John's bedside with Ben. Standing, the doctor turns to Ben.
You'll have to get someone to look after him while you're away.
Well, I'm not much of a nurse, Doc, but I'll do the best I can.
I expect a man wouldn't mind getting shot just for a chance to have you straighten him out. Goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye, Doc, and thanks.
I'll keep a close watch on him.
Thanks, Doc.
That's quite all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Alice and Ben watch as John sleeps peacefully. At the saloon...
You better have another drink, Rudd. You look like you need it.
Rudd, the bandit who wore the neckerchief, pours a drink.
All that dough don't make up for Joe and Harry lying out there with slugs in them.
There'll be enough left over to pay for a swell funeral. For the guy who killed him.
He's not dead yet. He'll probably pull through.
I figured you might want to make sure that he didn't. You know, he's apt to make it pretty tough if he finds out who killed his father.
He doesn't know anything.
Dead men usually don't. And if I was as fast with a gun as you are, I'd finish the job right. The way he finished Joe and Harry.
At John's bedside...
He's a great guy, old Dad Mason.
You know, that must be why I sort of took to him right off.
You like him a lot, don't you?
Well, who could help liking a game guy like that? You know, he's too tough to kill.
He must be if you tried your best. Don't worry about him, Ben.
Not with you looking after him. You're about the only thing who pulled me through. If I ain't got in a jam like that. You make yourself right at home here, won't you, Alice? Just like it was your own place?
Of course.
You know, I always kind of hoped maybe it would be here. Sometime. Anyway, you might sort of get used to it, being here and all that. Why, you might even learn to like it while you're making yourself at home. Well, I gotta be going.
Alice follows Ben to the door.
Goodbye, Ben.
Ben kisses Alice, then hurries out the door. Sadly, Alice touches her lips. Outside, Ben closes the gate to the white picket fence. He unties his horse and rides away. In the bushes, Rudd moves in on horseback. He dismounts and watches as Ben rides off the property. Seeing that the farm is unguarded, Rudd puts his hand on his holstered pistol and stalks toward the house. Alice gives John a glass of water as Rudd creeps onto the porch and listens at the front door. Rudd reaches for the doorknob. Gun drawn, Rudd bursts in the door.
Scare you, sis?
He holsters his gun.
We've been combing the country for that gang. I thought I saw somebody sneaking around back of the cabin. I guess I must have been mistaken. How is he?
The doctor said he was out of danger.
Rudd leans over the foot of the bed as John wakes up.
This is my brother, Rudd.
Howdy. Howdy.
You had a mighty close call, John.
Mighty close.
A sign nailed to the office wall reads, $500 reward for the capture of the express office bandits who murdered Dad Mason. Notify sheriff or express company agent.
Howdy, Pete.
Hello there.
After 3 weeks of looking for that gang, you don't expect anybody to collect that, do you?
Well, if they do, they'd better get it before young Mason gets on his feet. I'd hate to be in them fellas' shoes when he starts riding again. But I don't figure he'll ever stop until he finds them.
Tell Ben I'd like to see him when he pulls in, will you?
Sure, he ought to be rolling in about an hour if he's on time.
Pete watches Rudd walk away. Further down the street, Rudd unties his horse as Wallace approaches.
The boys are waiting for you this side of the pass.
Nodding, Rudd prepares to mount his horse. Later, a wagon rides along a winding road. Rudd, along with three other bandits on horseback, watches from the trees.
All right, stand ready, boys. Here they come.
As he drives the wagon with Pete beside him, Ben reaches into his breast pocket and pulls out a diamond ring. In the yard at the farmhouse...
Here. Aren't you glad you won't have any more of that after tomorrow?
Don't you think a good doctor could find something else wrong with me?
I'm afraid not. Your pulse is regular. Your appetite is outrageous. The doctor says your heart's perfectly sound.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things about a fellow's heart that a doctor doesn't know anything about.
I suppose he does have to guess it. A lot of things, just as much as a nurse does.
About what, for instance?
For instance, whether her patient might want bean soup or porridge. Only it'll have to be porridge because it's waiting to be warm.
She rips a page from a catalog.
Don't tear that out. I won't have anything to read tonight.
Petticoats, corsets, diapers. Is that what a gentleman reads?
Well, there's a lot of other things in there besides that.
Bicycles, knives, forks.
In the catalog, Alice finds a circled listing.
There's something I want to buy.
It's a diamond ring.
I thought you might help me pick it out.
I'd love to, John.
Well, best ain't gonna be none too good. I want to get something that'll wear for a long time.
Didn't you think it would?
Well, you got to make sure. You don't buy them every day. Only I didn't know what size to get.
What size did you think?
Oh, about 9, I guess. I think we have the same size feet.
Alice's face falls.
I was thinking that if I got a pair of boots, maybe with some fancy spurs, but it'd be a way of showing Ben that I'm not forgetting what he did for me. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for that fella. Anytime I have a chance.
Of course you would.
Putting down the catalog, Alice leaves. John picks up the catalog and sees the circle listing for the ring. Strutting along the sidewalk, Rudd sits down beside Wallace in front of the saloon. Wearing the neckerchief around his throat, he reaches into his pocket and shows Wallace the diamond ring. The two men watch cautiously as Ben pulls the wagon up to the express office. He hops out of the driver's seat and heads for the saloon.
Hello, Ben. What are you all excited about?
Oh, those mangy coyotes held me up again.
Well, that's a dirty trick.
Yeah, and if one of those birds tries to use that ring to get himself married, well, I hope he has triplets.
Well, don't worry, Ben. If Alice is willing to marry you, I'll give you a ring. Just like the one you lost.
What makes you think she wouldn't marry me? Ain't I known her long enough?
Well, sure, Ben, only... she hadn't met that friend of yours then. It's taken him a long time to get well, ain't it?
Well, you're crazy.
Don't be a chump, Ben. What do you think he's doing while you're away? Crocheting? After all you've done for him, I think he's a skunk to be making love to her behind your back.
Ben punches him.
You're a liar.
Hold it, Ben. He didn't mean nothing. Come on, I'll ride home with you.
All right. But if he opens his mouth again, I'll break him wide open.
Oh, come on.
John watches from the yard as Ben and Rudd ride up to the farm.
Well, how's the old son today?
Almost as good as new, Ben. No bandages after tomorrow.
Yeah? Well, that's about the only news that could cheer me up. You met Alice's brother.
Yeah, but I guess you don't remember me.
I remember, all right. Only at that time, you weren't wearing that polka-dot neckerchief.
Yeah, you were just sort of getting your bearings then.
I'm still getting them. A lot quicker than I expected.
Well, Ben, as long as Alice isn't here, I guess I better be getting along. Guess you'll be going after that reward they posted today.
Reward isn't what I'm after, Red.
Good luck, Mason.
See you tomorrow, Rudd.
Come on, Ben.
John stares at Rudd as he walks away. Untying his horse, Rudd strokes his neckerchief. Then he rides away.
So that's her brother.
Yep. That ain't all. Well, he came mighty close to being my brother-in-law today.
What do you mean?
Well, he might have been if road agents hadn't stuck me up and stole the ring I bought for his sister.
Oh, so they're at it again, eh?
Yeah, and I'd like to get my hands on the yellow-livered skunks. It took me 5 months to save up to buy that ring.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah, and the tough part of it is it'll be another 5 months now before I can ask her.
What makes you think you need a ring to ask her?
Well... to tell you the truth, John, I figured that if she saw it and tried it on, it might be harder for her to say no.
Our ring wouldn't make any difference to a girl like that, Ben.
You think it wouldn't be taking too much of a chance?
You go over and ask her to marry you tomorrow, and I'll take your run for you.
Will you, John?
Sure.
Gee, that'll be swell.
Later in the saloon...
Don't agree in unpacking that much gold with you?
Not when we're pulling out ahead of schedule. Sure be disappointing to any road agents. Looking for us a couple hours from now.
Yeah, I reckon Bates will be disappointed, too.
Well, can't some of you boys oblige Bates? Send some business his way?
Might be arranged. I never figured my shooting was so bad. A doctor would be much use.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're such a good shot, Red. Must have been powerful humiliating to those fellas that had me marked for the undertaker. You couldn't do any better than send me to the doctor. Well, I gotta get that gold shipment out. So long, Red.
When John leaves, Rudd leans over to two of his men.
You men get over and load yourselves in that wagon. You're riding with him.
The two bandits leave the bar and approach the express office wagon. Making sure the coast is clear, the two bandits hop into the back of the wagon. In the express office...
Well, Pete, by chance anybody does get this box, there'll sure be a surprise in store for them.
Yeah, but if your plan works out, and I think it will, no one's going to get it.
John and Pete lift the box of stones and leave the office. In the saloon...
You said a heap, Wallace, when you said... Dead men don't know nothing.
Well, it's taken you a long time to figure it out.
John and Pete load the box into the front seat of the wagon, then jump on board. As Pete takes the reins, John looks behind them and sees the two bandits wiggling around under a tarp. They smile as John picks up a shotgun, and Pete starts driving the wagon out of town. In his farmhouse, Ben fusses over his hair in a mirror. On the road out of town, John continues to ride shotgun for Pete's mountain freight and express office wagon. Stopping the wagon, they both draw their pistols as John jumps into the back and throws aside the tarp.
All right, come on out of there, you hombres, with your hands in the air.
The bandits stand with their hands up, and John strips them of their guns.
All right, now get up in that seat.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Just a couple of skunks. Get up there.
Reluctantly climbing into the front seat, the bandits take the reins. John and Pete kneel behind them, their guns aimed at the bandits' backs.
All right, get going and keep going. Right straight ahead.
The wagon moves on. With three other bandits, Rudd rides around a bend and into the cover of trees. They dismount and gather together, staring down the road, hands on their holstered guns.
Listen, boys. Here they come. And when they're around that bend, let them have it.
Rudd and his bandits hide under the trees as the wagon rounds the bend. The bandits open fire on their own men driving the wagon. Kneeling behind the front seat, John and Pete fire back. and hit one of Rudd's men in the chest. As the wagon passes the bandits, they run back to their horses. Then they give chase. From the back of the wagon, Pete and John continue to fire on the bandits trailing them. In the front of the wagon, one of the bandits is shot and falls to the ground. Grabbing the remaining bandit driver from the front seat, John hauls him into the back of the wagon as Pete jumps up front and grabs the reins. John and the bandit exchange punches, fighting in the back of the speeding wagon. Rudd and the other two bandits push their horses while John continues to slug it out in the back of the wagon. Pete struggles for control of the powerful four-horse wagon team. With a heavy punch, John knocks the bandit out of the wagon. Aiming carefully, John fires at the remaining three bandits pursuing them. He shoots one off his horse. When the wagon drives under a tree, John leaps into the air and grabs a sturdy branch. He climbs into the tree and waits for Rudd and the bandit, close behind on the trail. When he rides beneath him, John pounces from the branch onto the back of the bandit's horse, pulling him to the ground. Climbing to his feet, John slugs the bandit and knocks him out. John runs to the bandit's horse and leaps into the saddle to pursue Rudd and the wagon. Further down the trail, Rudd fires on Pete in the wagon. He hits him, and Pete slumps off his seat, losing the reins. The wagon team speeds out of control along the dirt road. Seeing John race up behind him, Rudd turns his horse off the main road. John continues on the road, chasing the runaway wagon. Charging along the backwards trail, Rudd's horse trips and falls, sending him to the ground. John rides alongside the wagon and leaps from his horse onto the wagon team. Riding one of the horses, John steers the team on the curvy road as the wagon behind him rolls off a cliff. With the wagon team under control, John turns the horses around and heads back along the road. On the backwoods trail, Rudd sits on the ground rubbing his head. Pulling up to his horse, John stops the wagon team. John sees Rudd in the bush climbing back onto his horse and riding away. Jumping on his horse, John chases him. Rod leads John along a dirt road, then takes his horse down a hill into a valley, off the main path. Stopping his horse at the bottom of the hill, Rod turns back to see John continue along the road at full speed. Rod rides through the valley and takes his horse along a small creek that runs parallel to the road up above. The shortcut brings Rod to his ranch, where he jumps off his horse and undoes the saddle. Following the road, John keeps up the chase. Taking the saddle from his sweating horse, Rod finds another horse in the yard and begins to saddle up. Alice walks out of the ranch house onto the front porch and sees Rod adjusting his saddle. She walks toward him in the yard. Without looking at her, he jumps on his horse and rides away.
Rod!
John speeds onto the ranch and dismounts when he sees Alice.
Where's Rod? Where is he?
Why, he's gone to town.
Just now?
Well, perhaps an hour ago.
John sees Rudd's first horse.
That horse hasn't been sweating for an hour, Alice.
What do you want of my brother?
Didn't he tell you?
Oh, John, what's happened? Why are you looking for him? What's he done? Tell me.
As Alice grabs John's arms, Ben rides up to the ranch. He stays on his horse and watches through the bushes as Alice holds his friend. Sad and angry, Ben turns back and rides away.
John, I have a right to know. Why did you come here this way?
Well, it's nothing for you to worry about, Alice. I just want to ask him a few questions.
John jumps back on his horse and follows the path that Rudd took.
John!
A short time later, John rides his horse into town. He ties his horse to a hitching post, adjusts his gun belt, and strides down the street. Slowly entering the saloon, John looks around and finds Rudd at the bar. Adjusting his holster, John catches the eye of Wallace, the bartender. Rudd turns around to see the big man standing by the door. Stone-faced and determined, John approaches Rudd at the bar.
Well, I didn't expect to see you back so soon, Mason.
Didn't ever expect to see me come back since you read.
Wouldn't have made a lot of difference to me if you hadn't.
It'll make a whole lot of difference. To the fellow who killed my dad.
What's that got to do with me?
Who killed him, Rudd?
What do I know about it?
That's what I'm asking you.
And ask it plain, so I won't make no mistake about what you mean.
The only mistake you made was when you forgot to change that neckerchief. Quit stalling, Rudd. I trailed you all the way back to the ranch.
You're bats, Mason. I was at the ranch all day.
That's what your sister said.
Are you calling my sister a liar?
Well, I don't blame your sister for trying to save you. It's just too bad she's got such a rat for a brother.
Ben walks into the saloon. The two men see him as he finds his own place at the bar.
Here, and speaking of rats, Mason, my sister ain't gonna have one making love to her. And if that ain't plain enough, I'm meaning you. Because if you don't stay away from my...
I'm not asking your advice.
I'm not advising you, I'm telling you. This would be a pretty good time for you to be pulling out of this town.
Perhaps I will when I finish a job I've got to do.
Then you better finish in an hour. Because if you're still around here when that clock hits four, I'll shoot you on sight.
John turns to the clock on the wall. It reads 3:05.
Well, in that case, I guess it'll take me till just about 2 minutes after four to complete the job I've got to do.
Walking away from Rudd, John stops at Ben, who turns his back on him. In the street, John unties his horse. Then he rides out of town. Rudd approaches Ben at the bar.
You may be the kind of a chump that'd let a double-crosser like that get away with it, but...
Who said I would?
I told you he was dealing off at the bottom of the deck. Everybody knew it but you.
You don't have to tell me that now.
Ben throws back a shot of whiskey and leaves the saloon. At Ben's farmhouse, John carefully loads his pistol. He holsters the pistol in his gun belt, hanging over the back of a chair. Outside, Ben ties his horse to the picket fence and sees John's horse already there without a saddle. Ben walks to the house and stands face to face with John.
When a fellow called you a skunk the other day, I knocked him flat. He was right. Only you're lower than that. Well, you double-crossing sideways.
Wait a minute, Ben. Red's been talking to you. Filling you full of booze so you'd listen to him. Is that what you think of me?
I'll show you what I think of you.
Ben punches him in the jaw. John grabs him by the collar and cocks his fist. Slowly, he lets go.
Well, what are you waiting for? Yellow?
You've got me lit.
Ben opens the door.
Alice.
She hurries to John.
I just heard. You can't go through with it, John. You can't. Why, he's my brother.
You think it's easy for me to forget that?
But don't you see that it's not just Rudd that I'm thinking of? Why, if anything happened to either of you, I'd... Oh, John, it mustn't happen.
I'm sorry, Alice.
John leaves. Alice runs to the door.
He'll listen to you, Ben. You've got to stop him. I don't know what I'd do if anything happened to...
To Rudd?
You won't let him, Ben. You will do something, please.
He won't harm you, brother. I'll see to that. You'd better go back to the ranch, Alice. Don't worry.
Alice leaves the farm as John saddles up his horse. In the house, Ben paces, brooding. Noticing John's pistol on the back of the chair, he takes it from the holster and removes all the bullets. Outside, John finishes saddling his horse and heads back for the house. Ben reholsters the pistol and shoves the bullets in his pocket. John comes in the front door. When he looks to Ben, Ben turns his back on him. John puts on his hat and buckles up his gun belt. He approaches Ben and reaches for his shoulder, but decides against it.
Well, goodbye, Ben. I'm sorry that Alice had to be at the ranch when I trailed Rudd there after he held us up. Don't ever tell her, Ben. The man who killed my dad was her brother.
John walks to the front door and leaves the farmhouse. He hops on his horse and rides away. In the house, Ben resumes pacing, confused and upset. Suddenly, he stops and turns to the door. He runs outside and heads for his horse. Hurrying, Ben follows John. At the saloon, Wallace glances at the clock.
If he's coming, he ought to be here in 5 minutes.
That suits me.
John races along a dirt road. Stepping outside the saloon, Wallace looks around and sees John riding into town. John stops his horse and ties him to a hitching post. Wallace runs back into the saloon. Meanwhile, Ben races toward town.
He just rode around the corner of the express office.
Rudd takes a shot of whiskey and hikes up his gun belt. Seeing John, two local men on a bench nearby stand up and flee. Wallace checks his gun, and Rudd looks at the clock. Rudd nods at Wallace, and the two men leave the bar. Rudd heads out the side of the building, while the bartender goes through another door. At the side door, Rudd creeps toward the street and hides behind a large water barrel.
Here comes Mason now.
The doctor and Bates the Undertaker scurry off a porch. John stands alone in the street as Bates watches from inside his house. Hiding upstairs in the saloon, Wallace opens the second floor window. Ben continues to ride at full speed. Head held high, John walks down the center of the street. From behind the water barrel, Rudd cocks his gun. Alert, John continues down the empty street. In the second floor window, Wallace raises his pistol. Ben charges into town and jumps off his horse. He walks into the street and scans the area. Rudd waits behind the water barrel as John slowly walks into his sights. From the window, Wallace watches as Rudd takes aim. Ben sees Rudd preparing to fire and shoots him dead. Wallace aims from the window and shoots Ben in the side. John draws his gun and fires at Wallace, but finds he has no bullets. Bates cleans his ears when he hears no gunshots. Running toward the saloon, John looks through the second floor window. As Ben rides in the street, John climbs up to the balcony. Creeping along the balcony, John makes his way to Wallace in the open window. As Wallace leans out the window, John smacks the gun from his hand. John wrestles the man onto the balcony, and the two struggle to their feet. barely alive, Ben remains in the street. John slugs Wallace in the jaw, then gets knocked to the ground by a strong right hook. Wallace dives onto John, and the two wrestle on the balcony floor. The two men fight hard to push each other off the edge of the balcony, but both manage to cling to the railing. Wallace punches John, who rolls onto his back. John kicks him with his legs and sends him back to the floor. Ben reaches for his gun, but can't find the strength. John and Wallace trade blows. Then Wallace grabs an overhead support beam and swings a boot into John's face. John climbs to his feet and pounds punch after punch into Wallace's gut. He slugs Wallace to the floor, then picks him up and knocks him over the railing to the ground. As Wallace dies, John climbs down from the second floor balcony. He hurries to Ben. Hoisting him onto his lap, John reaches into Ben's shirt and finds his hand covered in blood.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't...
Oh, that's all right, Ben. I know something that'll fix you up.
Sure. And they're on me. Again. It's getting dark, John. Ain't sundown, is it? Maybe you better tell Alice. I won't be home for dinner.
Ben goes limp as he dies in John's arms. Bates creeps into the street to Wallace dead on the ground. He takes a measuring tape from his pocket and measures the body. Folding Wallace's arms over his chest, Bates greedily rubs his hands together. At the Justice of Peace, John and Alice run to their carriage through a shower of rice thrown by happy townspeople. They drive away with a sign on the carriage reading, "Just Hitched Up," as empty cans and shoes rattle behind them.
Well, Doctor, how's business?
Fair. But my future prospect looks pretty good.
He points to the married couple.
I get you. Oh.
The End, a Lone Star Picture. Original music composed and orchestrated by William Barber. This described version of Blue Steel and The Dawn Rider was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by John Carlyle, and produced by Valerie Hunter. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.